What an honor. What an honor to see young people that love the Lord. Just heart-wrenching to see them have to go through things. It's hard, but you can't put it any better than she put it. Just keep enduring. Just continue to endure. Kind of goes along with what the message is about this morning. The title of the message this morning is Running the Race. Running the Race. And we are in a race. As Christians, and the Bible talks about it many times and refers to our daily life as a race. We're seeking, we started out somewhere, right? And we're trying to finish somewhere, right? We'll start our reading in Philippians, the third chapter this morning. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. And God willing, we've got some other scriptures that we want to cover this morning as well. But those are the two that I want to start with. Do the kids still have PE, physical education, in school? They do? I don't know. It's been so long since I went. I don't hear Sarah talk about it much other than she has a class. But, I mean, do they actually get out and run? And...
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I know that when I was in high school or in middle school and we had physical education, they would take us outside and we would have to run around a certain perimeter. And there was something that always stuck out to me, is that there was a lot of things that took place in that scenario. And what I want you to understand, this morning, what I'm trying to say is, there were people that ran for different reasons, first of all. There were people who ran just to get to the end, just to get to the finish line. There were people that ran because they had a desire to run. They enjoyed it. There were people that ran because they had to run. Teacher said so. Right? No other reason. And then there were people who had a million excuses not to run. Right? Every time it was physical education, now you'd see them in the hall, man. They'd be... You see them, you know, before school, they'd be out there playing flag football or whatever else. And in the gym at the school, they'd be running up and down the court playing basketball before school started. And you knew that there was nothing wrong with them. Right? But for some reason, when it was time to run laps in PE, there was always something wrong with them. They couldn't run. Their leg was hurt. Their ankle was hurt. Their back hurt. I can understand. They had headaches. Whatever reason, right? We're running a race, church. And there's people that are just running just to get there. There are people who are running because they have a desire to run this race. There are people that are running the race because somebody's making them run the race. And there are people that just have every excuse not to run the race. Right? They'll find every excuse. You'll go to them and say, "Hey, let's go running today. Come to me and ask me today. I'll tell you no thanks. My running days are over. But I'm running a race for God, and I enjoy running, church. I really do. You know, when I was younger and I was in high school, I enjoyed physical running. Man, I loved it. My coach asked me one time, he said, "Why do you love to run?" I said, "I don't know, I just like it, man. It's just, you know, something. I started doing it at an early age." He said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He said, "In what circumstances, what happens that makes you run harder than other things?" I said, "Let me think about it for a minute." I said, "Usually if I'm chasing somebody, or if somebody's chasing me," which back then was a pretty common occurrence for me. Either I was chasing somebody to fight them, or somebody was chasing me because I did something to them. Right? So he said, well, when you run, think that the people in front of you are people you're trying to catch, and the people in back of you are people that are trying to catch you. He said, or better yet, think that the people in back of you are the cops. I said, well, I'll run fast then. And it increased my time considerably. So I ran hard when I thought about that. But it seems kind of humorous this morning, but we have to have a reason for running the race. There has to be a purpose. Now, if I was to ask this morning what your purpose is, some of us might have a different reason of what our purpose is. Some of you might say, well, I'm running this race because I want to make it to heaven. And some of us may say, I'm running this race because I want to impress the coach. Jesus. Right? And that's the... I want to make it to heaven, church. I really do. But my main purpose for running this race is because I want to impress Him. I want to please Him. I want to do my very, very best to make Him look upon me and say, I'm pleased with Him. I'm pleased with the progress that He's making. I'm pleased that in the effort that He's given forth. I'm pleased that He's trying so hard to make it. He might not be first place. He might not be second place. But man, He's given His level best to get there. And that's what's important to Him. So in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 21... It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have as for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You may be seated. There's an important thing in running. Actually, there's a few important things. You see there, I believe it's in chapter 17, it says to follow them that are have a good report, basically. That walk for the same reasons that we do. In other words, don't be afraid to take instruction. Right? When I first started in running, somebody had to give me instruction on how to run. Right? And even later on in my years, that person, which his name was Coach Marin, he would still give me instruction and say, Rob, I've noticed this, that you're starting to lack. Where you once did this right, now you're doing it wrong. And you need to improve that. There's nothing wrong, church, with taking instruction. God bless you, sis, for the water. I'm going to need it. I didn't realize I was going to be running as hard as I'm running this morning. But you see what I'm saying? There takes times where we need the instruction. And sometimes it wouldn't be the coach that would give me instruction. It would be other runners that would say, hey man, you know what? If you did this, I found this to work well with me. You ought to try this. Right? It's good for us to give one another instructions, to help each other along the way. We're all running in the same race here. We're all on the same team, amen? We're trying to get to the same destination. Now, Ian, will you help me this morning? Come on. Come here, we're going to race. I know we ain't supposed to run in church, but this is, you get a pass this morning. Stand right here. You know who Tony is? You know who Tony is back there? Huh? We're going to race to Tony and see who can get there first, okay? You ready? Let's go. He beat me. You can come on back up every mile. Thank you, buddy. Now, why did he beat me?
Because he was fat.
Very good answer. In every race, there's a start and there's a finish. It helps if you go straight to the finish. Because straight is the way. Right? Narrow is the path and straight is the way, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Right? The main reason that he beat me, yes, he's fast. But the main reason he beat me is because he went the straight way. I tried to go another way. Church, there's only one way. Amen? There's only one way. You can't go the way that you want to go. You got to go in the way that's been directed to go. In every way, you know, when you run a 100-yard dash, there's lines, and there's a straight line that goes from start to finish. And if you get off of that line, you lose time. Right? Now, there's another key element to what the example that I gave this morning. He finished the race. But I quit. Why did I quit? Because I saw that he'd gotten there already, and I lost hope. I felt like, why should I continue? I've already lost. I went the wrong way. But the good news is, church, this morning, even if you go the wrong way, even if you get off the path somewhere along the way, God is faithful to allow you to come back into the direction that you need to go in. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit and say there's no sense. Keep running. Just get back on where you need to be at. Man, that's good news this morning. It's good to know because, church, we are feeble. We're subject to make mistakes. We're subject to error. But it doesn't have to stay that way. You might not win the race. You might not come in first or second. But, man, you'll still win. I'll guarantee you that this morning. If you get there the right way, you're going to win. And we'll get more into that here in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery of is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We're running for a reason. And it's important, church. to have a cause to run for, to have something to run for. I'm not running to get there and get some big crown or some big trophy or to get this or to get that. I'm running, as I said earlier, because I want to please Him. And if you're running to get to heaven, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to get there, church. But you need to have a reason, right? You have to have something that keeps you going. You have to have something that motivates you. Not just running just because. Or you think, well, I guess it's the right thing to do to go to church. You know, there has to be more to it than that. You have to give more than just a nonchalant effort. You have to give everything that you have. Not just beating against the air, but actually accomplishing something along the way. Actually making something happen along the way. Now, how many of you would take advice? Let me see how to put this eloquently. Okay, I'll use myself as an example. I'm pretty bad out of shape. How many of you, if I came to you and told you this is how you need to run races, would want to follow me to the race? What's so funny? Not many of you would, right? You'd say, yeah, right, he can really help me. It's the same way with Christianity, right? If I'm a person who's never run before in my life, and all I do is sit here and say, now if you want to be fast, just run over there. That's real good advice, ain't it? But that's what he's saying here. What good does it do to me to preach to you what direction to go in if I can't do it myself? Right? Need to be an example. In order to help others to be able to run the race properly, you got to be able to run yourself. Right? And show some kind of consistency. Now, everybody that gave me advice wasn't as fast as me. Everybody that gave me advice hadn't been running as long as me. But good advice is good advice. Right? As long as they're at least attempting to run. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured and the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, there are so many things that will hinder us in this race. So many obstacles, so many stumbling blocks, so many people that put pressures on us, and so many things to distract us, church, from achieving what we're trying to achieve. Would you agree with me on that this morning? I mean, when I ran cross country, I didn't always know the terrain that I would be running on. Church, we don't always know what we're going to face every day. But know this. When I ran track, I knew that no matter what the terrain was, no matter what I was going to have to endure, I knew that my coach had my health and my safety in his mind. Right? I had confidence in that. Church, I've got more confidence in God than I ever had in that man. I know that whatever my direction is, whatever my course is, whatever the obstacles are, whatever the stumbling blocks are, He is able to provide the way because He cares for me. And He has my best interests at heart. And He's not going to let anything happen to His church that's going to hurt us. Yes, there's going to be things that come along the way that, you know, we might tweak an ankle here and there. But He still cares for us. He still prepares for us. And He helps us. He directs our paths. He has set a course for us. So many things come along. And the sister talked about it well ago when she opened the devotions this morning. About these young people, they face so many things. They're in this race too, church. And they face things. They face obstacles that we don't face. They face things that we don't have to face anymore. Maybe we once did. Maybe we didn't face the same things. That's arbitrary. The fact of the matter is, they face things. And it's important that we understand and we know that we need to lay aside everything that's going to slow us down. Everything that's going to be a hindrance to us. Man, have you any of you picked up your children's backpack for school? What if the coach came to you and said, put that backpack on and run around the course here 10 or 12 times? I know I couldn't make it. Right? Because it's heavy. Now you just put the backpack on, it's not that bad. But you put a book for this class in there. Then you have to have a spiral notebook for that pad. Then you put another book in for this other class. And spiral notebook for that pad, that class. And you keep adding these things. So that's how the devil does it, church. He don't fill the thing up and just throw it on your back. He comes to you and he says, look at this nice backpack. It's Abercrombie and Fitch. It's the latest thing. If you carry this backpack, everybody's going to like you. Right? Is Abercrombie and Fitch still in? Have I done misses on that? Then he comes along and he says, now you're going to need this book. And you're going to need this book. And we're going to have to put the $200 calculator in. You can't just go and buy a $9.95 calculator at Walmart. You got to have this $200 one. Is anybody with me here this morning? I know I got some parents in the house this morning. And you keep on. And he keeps adding and adding. Right? And eventually, it's hard to bear. But the Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you. The things that slow you down, the things that distract you from your race, the things that will cause you not to go in the direction that you need to go in, the things that will cause you to try to look for shortcuts. Right? Because He's going to provide them too. And it's easy, church. It's easy to lose sight of what you're running for and where you're going. When you constantly got things bombarding you every day. But the thing is just to keep going back to the instructions. The directions are right here. It tells us how to get there, what direction to go, how to set aside all those things that slow you down. It's right here for us. In Galatians 5 and 7, it talks about me. Not in the spiritual sense, because I'm still running, but in the physical sense. See, once I ran well. Man, I was fast. Back in the day, I'd have beat Ian. And back when I was in high school, I ran a lot. All right? What's the best way to get good at something? Practice. Repetition. To continue to do it. Do it all the time. Right? It's no different with Christianity. Do it all the time. Not just on Sunday. Right? Repetition. Do it all the time, and you'll get good at it. Nothing wrong with being good at Christianity. Matter of fact, I would advise it that you get good at it. All right? But see, I once ran well as far as physical in high school. I ran all the time. I loved to run. I ran well. I think I was a pretty good runner. I'm pretty confident in myself. But things started to accumulate in my life. And things started to take place in my life. And I lost that desire. Now I'm kind of getting back to the weights and things, ain't I? I lost my desire to run. I didn't find it as fun as I once did. I didn't find it as meaningful as I once did. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that once ran well. Once ran this race that I'm talking about this morning, that I'm giving you scriptures about this morning. But things have just bombarded you. You've accepted things that have come your way, and you have allowed those things to distract you from running. You have let those things stop you from running. You've let those things hinder you. The Bible says you did run well. Who did hinder you? What slowed down your progress? What changed your feelings? What changed your confidence that you once had? Why have you chosen to go a different path? It's the answer I can't give you this morning. It's one that's between you and God. Let me give you some more instruction this morning in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Church, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to finish the race that's not going to win. That's a fact of the matter this morning. There's a lot of people that's going to finish. Everybody's going to finish. Think about it this way. I know what you're thinking. Well, how is that possible? Everybody's going to face the judgment, church. Nobody's going to get out of it. You can't get away from it. Everybody is going to reach the same finish line. Everybody. Now, it's your choice whether if you finish the race and win, or if you finish the race and lose. It's your choice. Nobody can make you run this race. This is a race, church, that you have to choose to run. You have to have a desire to run. You have to have a hunger to run in this race. You have to have a purpose for running this race. This is not something that you just run nonchalantly and try to scave through it. This is something that you have to run with the very best of your ability. You have to give everything that you have to it. This race is not something that you can just pick up on the weekends and say, okay, I'll just go and I'll run every Sunday. Or I'll run occasionally on Wednesday. Or maybe you run every Wednesday. No. This is a race that you have to give yourself completely to. You have to run every day. And in order for me to be able to get to the physical level of stamina I needed to get to run in the type of races that I ran in high school, I had to run 6 miles a day, 13 miles on Saturday, and do a recovery walk of 6 miles on Sundays. That's a lot of running. Right? But I had, if you notice something, I had to do something every day. It wasn't just, well, I'll run 13 miles on Saturday, and that'll be good enough. No, you have to give yourself to this race continually. You have to constantly be in the race. You have to constantly be running, giving your effort, trying your best. giving all that you have. And now, some of you are looking at me like this morning, like, well, that's too much to ask. No, it's not. It's very little to ask when you figure what He went through for you and for me. What if He just said, well, this race is too hard for me, God. Just bring me back home. I don't want to run this race anymore. Or what if He just said, well, let me go a different direction. I don't want to go that direction. And church, this is not hard. I know a lot of people make it out to be hard. They say Christianity's so hard. You have to give up so much. I tell you, what I gave up wasn't much. I didn't give up anything that was worth having, church. But what I obtained already, oh, can't even be compared. What I've already obtained, what I've already gotten from Him, just because I'm running in the race right now, I haven't even got to the end. I can't even imagine, church. I can't imagine what it's going to be like there. To see people that I haven't seen in years. To know that I'll never have to cry again. That I'll never suffer pain or loss. That I won't have to fight the battles anymore that I'm fighting now. Oh, I can't even imagine. That I can stop. I don't have to run anymore. But most of all, to be able to see Him. To be able to meet Him face to face and to thank Him for what He's done for me. Church, the things that you feel like, if you're here this morning and you're lost or you're backslid, the devil's going to tell you you're going to have to give up a lot. But I'm telling you, what you're giving up ain't worth keeping. It ain't worth keeping. It's just a hindrance to you. It, as the Bible says, lay down every weight and every sin that so easily besets you. The things that are holding you back. Sin will hold you back. It'll keep you from accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish in life. I can't force you to do it. You know, my coach, he can make me run, but I can't make you run in this race. You have to want to run. It has to be your choice. It has to be something you want to do. Because otherwise, you're just going to find 100 excuses of why you shouldn't. And He's telling you right now, He's giving you 100 excuses this morning of why not to even start the race. But I can give you one excuse that outweighs every excuse He gives you. Jesus died on a cross for you because He loved you. Not because He had to, but because He loved you. He died on a cross for you. That's the only excuse I need to give you this morning. That should be reason enough to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you. That should be reason enough to say, I'm done. I can't live the life that I've lived anymore. I know that there's something better for me. And my friend, there is. Christianity is better. Trust me, I've been through it all. Come to me after church and name something. I guarantee you I've probably been there and done that. Not happy about it this morning. Not proud of it this morning. But I tell you what I am proud of. That even though I did all those things, all those unthinkable things, He still loved me enough to die for me. He still loved me enough to give me an opportunity to come out of that lifestyle and to live the life that I live today. And church, I don't have enough words to describe to you what that means to me this morning. That He cared that much. Now it's your choice. You got a song? It's your choice. You can either accept this morning and decide to start running the race, or you can refuse. You can either say this morning, I remember what it was like to run this race. I remember how good it was and how pleasant it was and how much I enjoyed it. I don't know how I got away from it. You can get back to it this morning. All right? Or you can be here this morning and you can say, man, I'm running the race, but I sure would like to be doing a better job. I feel like I lack in this area. And I sure would like to do a better job in that area. Whatever your scenario is this morning, the answer is the same. The altar is your refuge. The altar is the place to come to and to get what you need from God. And it doesn't matter what you need. The altar is still the place. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.